Part of the reason the WTO talks have collapsed is a deep suspicion among developing nations of transnational corporations operating behind the scenes. Protesters say the companies exert too much influence over the WTO, trying to gain access to new markets. A case in point, say detractors, is Cancun itself, but some local residents disagree. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports.
Cancun is the kind of resort where partying is enforced, where waiters who speak perfect English run around blowing whistles and pouring tequila down your throat.
DJ, show me what you got!
The tens of thousands of mostly U.S. college students that run amok here during spring break are back in school now, but a few tourists are around. Tim, a construction foreman from Tracy, California, who wouldn't give his last name, had been wanting to bring his wife here for a long time.
I've heard about it for 5 years. Everybody said, yeah, exciting time here. So, I mean, if you got a track record of good comments, I mean, what are you going to go with? We just said hellfire. It came down for us.
The 100-odd, mostly foreign-owned hotels that tower over Cancun's beaches cater almost exclusively to foreign tourists. This 30-year-old tourism project is by far Mexico's most ambitious. In the 1970s, no one lived here at all. Cancun was a mosquito-infested swamp. Today, it's a town of 400,000 people. Most residents, like local fisherman Luis Israel Fuentes, feel divided about the foreign-based megatourism that dominates the economy. On the one hand, it's fair because of the work it creates for us, he says. But it's unfair, too, because these are Mexican beaches, and the locals should be allowed on them. The beaches are divided up. We can go here, but we can't go there. Fuentes says most beach spots, controlled by the hotels, charge U.S. prices, placing them out of reach of locals who earn the Mexican minimum wage. Those who work in the few locally owned beach resorts say business is disappearing. Josue is a waiter at Coco Joe's, a small thatched hut bar on one of the few beaches with public access. He says the international hotel chains offer cheap, one-price-includes-all packages that wreck small local businesses. For example, he says a German tourist comes by wearing his hotel ID bracelet, and you offer him a drink. He says, why, when everything at my hotel is included for free? Most locals live in downtown Cancun, away from the beaches. A large portion of it is clean and quiet, with a middle-class air. The streets are paved and tree-lined, the houses modest and well-kept. But on the edges of town, the poverty is dramatic. One fringe neighborhood is called simply Zone 288. It's 15 years old, but the streets are still of dirt, and basic services are lacking. Construction worker Miguel Angel Valle helped build nearly every large Spanish-American and otherwise foreign-owned hotel on the tourist strip, and he lives here in a small house built of planks and branches. The drinking water only flows from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., he says. You've got to be ready with your jugs. Right now there's no water. If there's no water and power, that's normal. It's bad service, but they charge a lot. Valle blames local government for not regulating the foreign companies who develop Cancun. But down the street, a local resident named Elsie Cabrera says she supports tourism. Her husband waits tables to put their oldest son through college. My husband says when the tourists are here, we do well, she says. But when the place is empty, we have problems. In a good month, he earns $500. Indeed, locals depend so thoroughly on tourism that it even influences the aspirations of youngsters, like Cabrera's other son, 11-year-old Freddy. I want to be a head waiter when I grow up, he says, just like my dad. Even fisherman Fuentes has hung up his nets to search for a job with more stability. He sits waiting outside a tourist hotel, resume in hand. I'm waiting for an interview to get a job here, he says, as a security guard or in whatever opening they have. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Cancun, Mexico.